Jeff McCaffer is the Equinox Project Lead. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Wayne. How you doing?
Great. For those listeners who are new to OSGI, can you provide a short description?
Well, OSGI is the base technology that runs Eclipse, actually. The OSGI Alliance is a body that was put together around the same time as Eclipse started and quite independently. They were sort of set up to make runtimes for embedded systems, home gateways, sort of service-managed systems, cars, that kind of thing. And some time ago, the Eclipse project was looking around for a new runtime. We had the runtime we've had since the beginning of time, and we needed to expand into rich client platform world and that sort of thing, more dynamic behaviors. And we were looking for a runtime that, frankly, was a little bit more standard, something that wasn't just homegrown, something that had appeal to other people for other reasons, and we could build more of a community around. So we did a bunch of analysis. We started the Equinox project to do that analysis and investigation. I guess today you would call it an incubator project. It was probably, the first incubator project in Eclipse. And that we investigated various things, and one of those was OSGI. And so looking at the technology, which is sort of more what your question was, it's fundamentally OSGI, the OSGI Alliance, is a specification body. So all they are outputting, all in brackets there, is specifications for various things, including what they call a service platform. And that's you see that today as the Oracle Eclipse OSGI bundle in your Eclipse installs, and that's our implementation of the OSGI specification. In addition to the service platform specification, they have various other things like HTTP service, wire admin, config admin, various other services that you would need to run and build a complete system. The OSGI Alliance also has a set of expert groups in domain-specific areas like mobile devices, handheld, people like Nokia and Motorola, vehicles. So some of the cars that the listeners will be driving today, if they're fortunate enough to have a BMW 7 Series, they actually have OSGI in their entertainment system. And various other vehicle manufacturers are also using or coming out with models now that have OSGI in their systems. So we've got an expert group within the organization that focuses on the requirements for vehicles. And there's some new expert groups looking at enterprise requirements for OSGI. That's using it in on the server side, for example, to run enterprise servers, issues with deploying to large numbers of desktops and configuring large number of desktops, that kind of thing. And other expert groups looking at end-to-end solutions, so all the way from the end-user devices to the central office and all that sort of thing. So that's sort of organizationally big picture of what OSGI is and sort of does. Fundamentally, though, getting right down to the nitty-gritty of why it's interesting for Eclipse, is it's a dynamic module system for Java. It's highly componentized. You develop bundles. Traditional Eclipse plugin developers should really relate to this very easily because what we talk about as plugins traditionally in the Eclipse world are bundles in the OSGI world. So, there really are a one-to-one mapping. There is no difference between the two. And so, but what OSGI brings to the table in that regard is it's very dynamic. Bundles can come and go much more easily than the original Eclipse runtime. And there's, on top of the module system, very much like in Eclipse, we have the extension registry. The standard OSGI way of composing modules is what they call a service registry. So bundles publish services, other bundles discover those services, and then use it. So you could see OSGI as a very early service-oriented architecture, perhaps the first one of the first ones.
The OSGI specifies a pretty rich component model. There have been numerous other attempts to build component models in the past. What makes OSGI different?
Well, that's a really good question, because when we started out the Equinox project, there were quite a number of other candidates out there, really. Things like Avalon from Apache and some talk about using JMX and various other module systems were around at the time. And our first job within the Equinox project was to analyze these different options. And sort of we made this matrix on the web, right? Different people with domain knowledge from those specific from Avalon or whatever came and filled in the matrix of, is it dynamic? Is it this? Is it that? And we sort of looked at that. We looked at the various code bases that were available. What were the pragmatics of how would we integrate that into Eclipse? the end, OSGI obviously won out, and it was really a hands-down kind of competition. You know, OSGI in our mind was head and shoulders above all of the others, and really it ended up being because it has a very clear and very concise modularity model. It's fully dynamic, and because it was focused on small systems, it really was, I guess I'll come back to the word concise. It was very specific solutions to not trying to solve everybody's problem and throw all different kinds of things into the mix. It just, it has a module system, it has a service layer, and that's it. And, you know, there's a bunch of services, additional services that are supplied, but those are all, you know, optional. So as far as why, you know, the adoption of OSGI has taken off, I mean, to a certain degree, it's hard to say whether it was triggered by or caused by Eclipse's adoption of OSGI. Certainly, if you follow the trend of Google hits, you know, searching for OSGI, you see it, you know, take off around the Eclipse 3.0 time frame. But, you know, we can't take credit for that because fundamentally people sort of adopt technologies that make sense and technologies that are worthwhile and have a quality about them in terms of providing actual value. And the OSGI specs certainly do deliver that value.
Now, the services specified by the OSGI specification, how many of them are, how many are there, and are they all implemented by Equinox, some of them implemented?
Right, yeah. This is actually a hard part. I should have actually maybe mentioned this in the, you know, when you're talking about how is OSGI and how does it relate to other things. Really, you have to think about it as a set of specifications. And some of those specifications are perhaps core, and some of them are optional. And in fact, the specification calls it out, but there's a core spec, which has the framework, like the basic runtime, and a set of what we talk about as framework services. And then there's a compendium specification, which has a whole bunch of additional ones. I actually don't know the precise numbers, but the orders are something like 8 or, you know, 5 to 10 services in the core, things like platform admin and that sort of thing, things that are tied into the framework. And then there's probably 20 or 30 additional services. Now, not all of those are mandatory to be certified as an OSGI implementation. And indeed, Equinox doesn't implement all of those either. We've implemented the ones that we've needed personally in terms of shipping Eclipse and ones that other people have, you know, had an interest in contributing. The general mandate of Equinox is an implementation of OSGI specifications, and obviously the runtime for Eclipse. But we have the scope of our work within the Equinox project is to cover all of the specifications. So we're able to do that work if people show up to do it. So we've probably got somewhere in the order of 15 to 20 of the services implemented. We've got some that are evolving as well, some that are new and sort of in the incubator. And we should graduate soon.
Now, services from other OSGI providers, would they work with Equinox?
That's a really good question, too, and something that causes people some confusion. I want to dispel a myth first. Some people are still seeing, much like we saw RCP and the challenge of people realizing that you could use RCP, Eclipse as a rich client platform, outside of Eclipse, the IDE, the development platform. And you can pull that out and, you know, build your banking applications or whatever, and then put that maybe on an embedded device or something. We're seeing a similar sort of disconnect with people not really realizing that you can take out the OSGI implementation out from underneath Eclipse and use it standalone. So you can just go and grab the Org Eclipse OSGI bundle and do Java minus jar and put that jar on the class path. And put like dash console on there, and it'll run. An OSGI console will come up, and you can start, you know, installing bundles and starting and stopping them, and that sort of thing. So it's completely separable, and sort of useful independently of the rest of Eclipse. Having said all of that, I've actually forgotten your question.
The question was services provided by other OSGI implementers.
Right, of course. So yes, absolutely. So the Equinox OSGI implementation is, as I say, completely standalone, but it's also completely standard. So you can go out and get, you know, services from other OSGI vendors, other OSGI-related open source efforts. You can, you know, other guys in your company. many who are writing OSGI bundles for whatever reason and run them on top of Equinox with no problem.
Now, is there a difference between a bundle and a service?
Yeah. So a bundle is essentially the packaging and delivery mechanism, and a service is more of a functional granularity. So an easy way to think about it is that a bundle is roughly equivalent to a jar. But think of jars, you know, much more finer grain jars than people typically have written. And just to digress a little bit, the reason why people have in the past, writing Java code, have tended to write larger grain jars is because managing your class paths is such a pain. And lining up all the dependencies and that sort of thing is problematic. Getting the class path as a single flat class path ordered properly, getting your jars on there in all the right order is a very big challenge for people. With OSGI and bundles, the bundles, which, again, think of them as jars, are self-describing. They describe what they have and what they contribute to the world, but they also describe what they need and what they require from the world. So they're importing a package or requiring another bundle, that sort of thing. So you can dump all of these bundles together into a configuration in our terminology, and then run the framework on that, and the framework will look at all that set of bundles and resolve them, that is, take all of the dependencies and knit them together and sort of verify that bundle A says it needs package foo, bundle B says it provides package foo or exports package foo, so A and B get wired together. That's how we talk about it, wiring of packages.
And then some of these packages, these bundles, then provide the services.
Yeah, sorry, I missed off that point. So, yeah, the various services are provided in the code inside of the bundle, and sort of, for example, when the bundle is started, they activate the lifecycle code for the bundle, the bundle activator, as we call it, can run and say, oh, hey, I've got this service, let me register it with the service registry. And similarly, another bundle, when it starts, or at some other point in time, it can go and look at the service registry and say, oh, I need that service, let me get a handle to it and start using it.
Are you actively involved with the OSGI Alliance?
Yeah, so I am, of course, and the Eclipse Foundation recently became a member of the OSGI Alliance, which is really great news, and the Equinox team as a whole has been very much involved with the OSGI Alliance for the past 3 years or so, ever since we decided that we wanted to adopt OSGI. Of course, we started out when OSGI was at the R3 spec level, and the OSGI R3 specification was really great, had lots of good features, but was missing some things that we needed to solve some of the Eclipse use cases. And so we worked with the OSGI Alliance and very, very sort of deeply and participated very significantly in the preparation of OSGI's, the R4 specification, which came out, I guess, about a year ago. A year and a half ago, I suppose. And then most recently, the R4.1 specification is just going through final review, and we also participated quite deeply in that. And that, by the way, the R4.1 is also going to surface as the implementation, or the specification, sorry, for JSR 291, which is a OSGI on Java 2 SE.
So is there, now I guess I've heard about it, or maybe I made this up, I'm not sure, an R5? Is there an R5 on the horizon? Or?
There's always an R5. There's always got to be a next version.
Is there going to be, do we expect to see anything new and exciting and interesting in that?
When we worked with R4, and R3 to R4, a number of new things were put in the specification, driven by various requirements that surfaced through new use cases. So in the R3 to R4 timeframe, one of the key things was, Eclipse was coming to OSGI and wanting to use it in a very different scenario than the traditional OSGI use cases, which were, more embedded and that sort of thing. So when we came to the table, we had things like fragments. People who do plugin development probably have used fragments, require bundle, so dependency on a whole bundle, lazy starting, that sort of thing. Those are the kinds of requirements that were driven into R4 based on use cases that came from Eclipse. In R5, the requirements will come from a broader audience. A lot of people trying to use Eclipse in the enterprise. Issues with distribution, that is, having, you know, OSGI services are intra-VM, intra-JRE connections. So I'm running in the same JRE or same VM, I can look up a service and use it, that sort of thing. But as you step into the enterprise, you start talking about, well, I want to do inter-VM service discovery and use. So this notion of distributed objects and interconnections between VMs, the sorts of things that you see in J2E and that sort of stuff, web services, that kind of thing, that sort of technology, I think, will come to bear and drive some requirements on the R5 specification. I think also issues around component programming models. The cool thing about systems like OSGI and Eclipse is that you take a large wad of code and you componentize it. You break it up into pieces. Those chunks are, you know, in theory reusable. You can then recompose them to build up a system. The problem is that when you break them apart and make these independent pieces, you make them more flexible, but you get that flexibility by decoupling them. And when you decouple them, and then, so you've got these decoupled pieces, and you try to put them back together to build a system, you need to recouple them in a sort of flexible way. And in OSGI, the traditional mechanism for coupling bundles or functionality was services. In Eclipse, the traditional thing has been extension registries. In J2EE, things like Spring come to mind as a coupling mechanism. So what we're seeing with these new use cases coming to a common base is a convergence of all of these different composition mechanisms, and they all have their own sort of foibles and you know, pros and cons. So the thing we need to do in R5, is work towards unifying these in some way and coming up with a more consistent component model that can be spread across quite a number of different, you know, whether it's inter-VM, intra-VM, whether it's you're talking about code or contributing data to each other, those sorts of things. And then the other aspect of this that, you know, when you've got people walking around carrying these sort of bags of bundles and helping them be able to manage them, configure them, deploy them, all those sorts of things are really issues that will come up, I believe, or come to the fore as we look at a more enterprise use, a more widespread use of OSGI.
So do you see OSGI then replacing the functionality that Java EE servers provide today, like the notions of EJB jars and web archives working together? Is that something that OSGI will replace or complement?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I would never claim to be an EE expert in any sense of the term, but what I'm seeing happening is a sort of expanded use of OSGI on the server, and in a number of different ways. Some of those ways complement perhaps traditional Java EE style programming, and some, I guess, compete with it. Some of the things that are happening, really, there's a couple of things. One is you get people like Web Server Application Service Team, Application Server Team, who decided, you know, they've got this app server that's a very big chunk of code, very complex and very functional. But they also are seeing demands to deliver that functionality at different levels of completeness. So they want to deliver, you know, this customer needs or this situation needs a small WAS, and this one needs a really big one that does all sorts of extra stuff. This one's using, you know, EJBs, and this one's not. Being able to deliver those functional pieces in a flexible way. So they're using OSGI and Equinox at a very pragmatic component model, hidden under the covers implementation detail of how WAS is implemented. So if you go out and get Web Server App Server today, version 6.1, I think it is, you actually are running on top of Equinox. So you're running the same runtime that you run when you run the tooling, the Eclipse tooling, or your Eclipse-based RCP applications. And there's other app server vendors who are investigating or doing similar sorts of things. So that's sort of at a base level where OSGI plays a role in the app server or in the app world. If you sort of step up a level, there's some work done in the Equinox project on something we talk about. It we call the Servlet Bridge. And what that does is allows people to contribute web content via bundles. Now, OSGI GI has always had, or always, for quite some time, has had something called the HTTP service. And that's a bundle, typically, that you can drop in, and it contributes defines an HTTP service object. Other bundles can come, discover that service, the HTTP service, and contribute to it either resources, so like HTML files, or servlets. And by contribute, it's essentially they're registering. So then you've got this HTTP service running, listening, say, on port 80. A request comes in. The request is for, say, some servlet. And the HTTP service will go and look up, and all the people who've contributed to it, look up all of the HTTP service objects or servlet objects and find one that matches and route the request to that servlet. The servlet for one request might come from some bundle, and the servlet for the next request might come from some other bundle. And these services, these bundles that are coming and contributing the servlets, can come and go as they please. You can configure the web server dynamically, add more function in as you want, update it, etc., etc. So that's been in there for quite some time.
Now, does that use standard Java EE notions of a web XML to register the servlets, or is it a different mechanism?
Right. So in that case, it's the traditional OSGI service registration mechanism. So you would go and you know, to dive into the gory details, you know, you'd in your bundle activator, you'd get a bundle context, and you'd look up the service and call the service and say, hey, I've got a servlet, and here it is.
So they're registered programmatically?
Yes,
rather
exactly.
Than declaratively. Okay.
So that's the traditional OSGI HTTP service as it's been for I don't know how many releases, but for a while. Now, what happened in Equinox is Simon Kagi, who was actually joined, you know, he contributed this into the Equinox incubator. He defined what he called the servlet bridge. And what that does, essentially, is it allows you to embed Equinox and the bundle, the OSGI bundling mechanism that I just described, into an existing app container. So let's say you could take Tomcat, WAS, JBoss, whatever, and you can define this little lore, and inside the lore, it's got a servlet, the bridge servlet, and an Equinox framework implementation or Eclipse OSGI bundle, and a set of bundles that define various servlets, JSBs, whatever. And what happens is you drop that lore into Tomcat, for example. The one bridge servlet registers and basically routes all requests, forwards them into the HTTP service that's running inside of the Equinox framework that's running inside of this lore, basically. So you're essentially installing a web app that has a Equinox framework inside of it, and then handling the componentization that way. So you, at this point, you can leverage all of the sort of other infrastructure that comes with a system like Tomcat or in a system like WAS, which gives you lots of different infrastructure. You can leverage all of that on the outside, and on the inside, you can get the componentization of your actual web content by dynamically contributing it to this nested Equinox framework that's running. So you sort of get two ways of looking at it. You can either run, and on the Equinox website, there's some information about this, but we sort of talk about it either as running HTTP in Equinox, or running Equinox in a web container, right? So you can write, basically you can run Equinox as the base and do web stuff on top of it, or you can run Equinox inside of an existing app server and do the web stuff that way.
So within the OSGI code running inside the WAR, would you have access to the application server's services, like the transaction service, for example?
You should do, though again, I have to claim I'm not an expert
right.
In that area. I mean, basically you're just running code,
sure.
Right? That's part of the web app at that level. When you do the nested guy, the nested approach, mm-hmm. You're just running code that has part of the web app, so if that web app has access to it, you should be able to access it. I mean, there may be some technical details about how you get the right class loader and stuff like that, but from at least a theoretical level, you can.
Jeff, there's an OSGI event coinciding with EclipseCon this year. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so there is, for the past few years, OSGI, the OSGI Alliance has run a development conference, the OSGI DevCon. They do that periodically. And this year they've scheduled that event to coincide with EclipseCon. So essentially it's almost like two conferences in one. And it's actually a very integrated, you know, as OSGI is very integrated into Eclipse, we've very much integrated the DevCon into EclipseCon. And so it surfaces as essentially an OSGI track within EclipseCon. And it's really great. I'm very excited about this because what it will do is bring a bunch of people who normally wouldn't have come to EclipseCon because they're not Eclipse users. They're OSGI users. They might be using or developing, implementing other frameworks. You know, there's lots of other OSGI implementations out there. And so we expect and hope to get that group of people who really know nothing about Eclipse, get them into Eclipse, into EclipseCon and the OSGI DevCon, get those together, and get a lot of sort of cross-fertilization, because I think both communities have a lot to learn from each other. And personally, I'm really excited to see, you know, all the different things that are going on in the sort of pure OSGI world, if you will. And I think we have some things within Equinox and Eclipse that to both learn from them and also offer that community as well.
You've already answered this question, I guess, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
I'll give you a different answer this time. How's that?
Sure, that works. What are you looking forward to at EclipseCon?
I think that is going to be, this EclipseCon this year is going to be, I think, quite exciting. Obviously, the OSGI stuff I just talked about, and there's a lot of discussion. There are a number of sessions, around, you know, OSGI and the server. As a server-side set of server-side tutorials, server-side BOF, a number of people, I think the Rich Ajax platform guys have a talk. Those things are all going to be very exciting. And one thing that I'm particularly excited about is I've noticed a number of talks and BOFs on provisioning, which is something that's really near and dear to my heart. As we're starting to spin up an incubator work area. Equinox has an incubator sub-project or component, and in there we have a number of work areas. And on the Eclipse 3.3 plan, there's been this work item, this plan item, for doing a new version of Update Manager, essentially improving the provisioning support. And we haven't really put much effort into that in the 3.3 cycle. But what we are doing now is we're just about to send out and start a work area, send out a proposal and start a work area on provisioning. So all this provisioning content at EclipseCon is very exciting. I think we should see a lot of good things coming out of that.
Well, I know that if you tackle the Update Manager, you're going to make a lot of people happy out there.
Yeah, well, you know, Update Manager, and I really have to take my hat off to the Update Manager team, because really, Update Manager is a really good piece of code from the very early days of Eclipse, and it satisfied the requirements at the time were to manage a static tooling environment in a sort of product-oriented kind of way. And since then, Update Manager was originally conceived and implemented, the world has changed so dramatically around it. We've gone from being a static development platform to being a dynamic, OSGI-based, rich client platform and embedded in server environments with, you know, all sorts of different other, you know, subtle requirements being pushed on it. And frankly, you know, the component itself has gone somewhat. We've got some people working hard on keeping it going, but we've not given it the love, if you will, that it really should have had. And so I'm looking forward to, at this point, being able to learn from all the things that have happened with Update Manager, and take, you know, pieces of whether design or code or whatever is appropriate, and move forward with that and design and build something that will carry us through both in the Eclipse world, but hopefully, you know, maybe look at integrating that with the R5 spec and some of the work going on in the OSGI community.
Well, that's great. Thank you very much for your time, Jeff.
Sure, thank you.
It's been very informative. Certainly learned a lot myself about OSGI, even though I've been working with it now for the last year and a half or more. Mm-hmm. It still amazes me that there's still so much more to learn out there. Again, I thank you very much for your time. I hope you have a great day, and I look forward to seeing you at EclipseCon.